Star Wars 7x7, episode 3575. Yesterday, we talked about one big concept in relation to The Acolyte and the Empire Magazine June 2024 cover story on the upcoming Star Wars series. Today, we're going to talk about a bunch of little things from that article. Some things that tell us a little bit about that series, and some things that tell us about Leslie Headland's background that I think are pretty cool and interesting and give me additional hope for the awesomeness of The Acolyte. Punch it. Hey, Rebel Rouser. I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you especially to the patrons who help make this possible every single day with their support at patreon.com/SW7X7. All right, so we're going to continue to talk about The Acolyte here. The June 2024 Empire Magazine cover story digs into the series. It's mostly interviews with Leslie Headland and some, you know, talk here and there, with also a few quotes interspersed from other people who are starring in the series. We talked yesterday about the concept of The Acolyte and what an acolyte is in the expanded universe, now known as Legends. Today, we're going to talk about some other things that were in the article. We're going to focus on seven particular takeaways that I thought were especially interesting. And I'll start with the first one, which is that the series seems to be rooted in a mystery genre, a detective genre. Now, we had a sense of that already, of course, the fact that there are Jedi getting killed and Jedi Master Sol is dispatched to find out who's doing it and why. But according to Headland, it's not necessarily a straight-ahead whodunit. The story is kind of like a spiral in the revelations as you dig deeper and deeper and deeper. She says it's one story with several reveals and that there are new clues that are being introduced with each successive episode. A second thing has to do with Amanda Stenberg's character, May, who seems to be the prime suspect, but according to Amanda, it's more complicated than that, and that the story is going to kind of examine the idea of what it means to ally yourself with the light side or the dark side. And I kind of match that up with something Headland says elsewhere in the article about how she's been drawn to telling stories from a bad guy's perspective, that she's very interested in the amoral and immoral characters and finding the humanity in them. I know I have put forward the theory that maybe it isn't May that's doing the killing, but it's someone connected to her who is. And, you know, there is another possibility based on this kind of stuff, which is that May is in fact the person who is killing all these Jedi, but she has a very good reason, or believes that she has a very good reason for doing so. A reason that we might recognize and say, oh, well, this is not necessarily a clear-cut case of it being a dark side kind of situation. Maybe there is some light in this. For a third takeaway, and not that Headland needs the bona fides or anything, but I did find it fascinating that the article flags her growing up on the prequel trilogy and diving deep into the expanded universe and even writing fan fiction back in her formative years. I mean, this stuff means a lot to her. And the reason why I say that, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter per se is because Tony Gilroy has no Star Wars bona fides, right? Like, he wasn't raised on the Star Wars movies and wasn't digging into the expanded universe, and yet he told, you know, a fantastic story with Andor. So just because you're in the bona fides, that's not necessarily something that you need to qualify you for something. I just think it's a fascinating aspect of Leslie Headland and what she's bringing to the table. And related to that, she says that her favorite episode of The Clone Wars is The Wrong Jedi, which is part of the four-part story arc at the end of season 5, where Barriss Offee stages an explosion at the Jedi Temple and does it as a means of protesting the Jedi's involvement in the Clone Wars. And that whole arc is a mystery arc. For a fourth takeaway, and kind of related to that, there are a couple of very lovely things in the article about how George Lucas essentially paved the way for Leslie Headland to do this series in a couple of very concrete ways. One of them has to do with Attack of the Clones and that scene toward the end when all the Jedi are in battle at Geonosis, and that is influencing what we're seeing in The Acolyte, especially a couple of those scenes from the trailer where a whole bunch of Jedi are waving their lightsabers around. That's a creative inspiration. There's also a technical one. According to Headland, because of Lucas basically single-handedly pushing digital projection into the mainstream. She made it possible for filmmakers like her to actually have a career, and as the writer of the story notes, to then eventually have Star Wars be a part of her career too. For a fifth takeaway, because there's no ongoing war at this point in Star Wars, and that I guess seems to suggest that whatever's happening with the Nile will peter out by the time we get to this part of the High Republic timeline, but because there's not an actual big war, that the war is more of a personal one than anything, or takes place on personal levels, if you will. And she talks about how she sees conflict in Star Wars also appearing in the form of the institution versus the individual, the parent versus the child, the sibling versus the other sibling, and whether the result is victory or defeat or reconciliation somehow. Yes, this definitely feels very much like what we see in Star Wars storytelling throughout the years. And she is also quick to point out that the Jedi, in this case, are the institution, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it also is a situation where we are looking at the beginning of the end of the Jedi Order as we know it in this story. We know that the seeds for what happens with Palpatine slash Sidious are being sown in much earlier times prior to the Phantom Menace, and that is what we're going to get to see at least the first glimmerings of in this first season. And for a sixth takeaway, I have to wonder whether the new coven of Force Witches, as they're described, which is being led by Jodie Turner-Smith's character, whether this is actually the group that is opposing the Jedi. According to the article, they just want to be able to practice their beliefs and be left alone and be free to do what they want to do. And yeah, I mean, of course they should want that to be the case. As long as they're not causing problems for other people, then, you know, why shouldn't they? But you get the idea that someone somewhere in this series is trying to decide that, yeah, maybe they are a problem, and so that might be a source of conflict for the series. But I like the fact that this is expanding our awareness of people who are able to manipulate the Force within the Star Wars galaxy. I mean, it was kind of mind-blowing to, you know, have the Jedi and the Sith, and then to go to the Night Sisters, for example, who have a similar kind of power, even if it works differently by comparison with the Jedi and the Sith. But now we might have yet another way of looking at it. And that's something that has also been happening in current canon storytelling as well, at least with all of these different, you know, Force religions that we started discovering in Rogue One that have been built out more and more over the course of the last almost decade or so. And the last takeaway I want to flag is that Hedlund is talking about this not as a singular season. She's already talking to Pablo Hidalgo about the possibility of more seasons, she says. And from what we knew in the backstory anyway, this had been developed with a series Bible and the whole situation for the first season, but it sounds like what was developed was definitely not to be a one and done. It was supposed to be the beginning of something, and the fact that they're already having conversations about a second season seems very promising. And such a second season could also bring more existing High Republic characters into the mix too, so that could be very fun. And so that's what I've got for you. Those are the highlights that I have gleaned from going through the Empire Magazine cover story on The Acolyte from June 2024, and that is going to do it for this episode of the show. If you enjoy the show, please share it with friends and fans that you know. Please leave a rating or review on your favorite app. Please consider liking or subscribing or joining. And if you really enjoy this podcast, then you can, for the cost of a cup of coffee a month, help in the actual creation and production of this one-man show. And you can do that over at patreon.com/SW7X7. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always. And may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be. 7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.